All right. Let's talk a little bit about imperative of evangelism. Let's talk a little bit about imperative. What is the word imperative? What kind of word is that, grammatically speaking? Yeah. Huh? A command. A command. When something's imperative, you're not taking your time about it. You're not going... That kind of whistling and deportment would be the exact opposite of imperative. You know? And so when we talk about the imperative of evangelism, we're not talking about blasé of... We didn't say blasé of evangelism. Or the so-so yawn, I think I'll do it today, maybe, of evangelism. This is called the imperative of evangelism. And there's two reasons for it. A is Christ commands it, and B is love and duty demands it. Christ commands it. Every child of God has been given a mandate to witness. We see that in Acts 1:8, right? Each of us has been commissioned to proclaim the gospel message to the unsaved of our generation. The Great Commission is not a challenge, is not a challenge. It is a charge to the church in every generation. In the book Grassroots Evangelism, Maylog says, quote, or it says that the believer in Christ claims this mandate to witness as his own. In the four alls of the declaration to witness, really, he finds just what we need to carry out the work of personal evangelism. All power is the source of strength. All nations presents the sphere of his operations. All things covers the scope of the message. And always give the assurance of continued divine help in the task. The four alls. So Christ commands it for us. He wants us to do this. I mean, listen, folks, you might... I just have to tell you something. You know, if you come to this today, I appreciate it. I really do. But if you've said to yourself today, this is not really my thing, rebuke yourself. I mean, really, just rebuke yourself. When we did a seminar on open-air evangelism at Grace Chapel, Tenafly, New Jersey, we had a youth group come from Ohio, Westlake, Ohio. we've got these guys that have helped me train there. We've got our staff, but these guys are on our board, and their name is on our board, and it's Danny Fredericks and Kenny Barrett. These guys are really educated guys. Danny just got his doctor of jurisprudence. He became a lawyer. I mean, you know, he teaches the Hawthorne Christian Academy. Kenny Barrett, teacher of the year, owns a master's in history. And these guys know the times. He was teacher of the year at Tenafly, New Jersey, not a Christian school, secular. And he was teacher of the year in this place. High tempo type of guys. They know the situation, and so these students, and they helped me train in students in the open air evangelism. And you were there. You met him. You met both of those guys, right, Danny? Those guys are good guys, right? Well, we've got these youth group taking our seminar, and you know how the youth group, they're all sitting there. They're strumming guitars. They bring their guitars. Everybody thinks that, you know, and they're doing this. And they got plumber pants on, some of them. You know, their pants are down low. You know what I mean? I just want to go, hmm. And, you know, they got the plumber pants on, and they're just, you know, and everything is, they got the chains, and they got the, one guy had this, he had white hair with blue shocks through it, you know, and a safety pin. It wasn't even looking cool. It looked like it hurt, you know. His safety pin, and these guys got the bracelets and the chains, and they're going, yeah. So I'm standing over here watching these guys do it. And I said, Danny, Kenny, come here. And they come walking over, and I said, look at him. What do you see? And they go, oh man, I see. And these guys are sociological, you know. Well, we see this and we see that and we, Generation X. You know, I mean, they're getting all the terms down. I'm going, that's cool. I didn't even know those terms existed. But look at that. And I'm going, okay. I said, no. He goes, they finished. And I said, what else do you see? And he goes, well, we see this. And they can exhaust this. I mean, this is like. And then I said, what do you see? And they gave me a little bit more. And I said, and what else do you see? And they both looked at me and said, obviously, we're not seeing what you're seeing. And I said, they said, Chris, what do you see? I said, I see that they're here. I see that they're here. I see that you're here. You know? I see tall, short, little stouter, little skinnier. But I see that you're here. I see that God wants to use you. I also see that. And I see this too. I see that you want God to use you. That's what I see. I was talking to our brother and we were talking about, you know, why is it, you know, you got stories and all this. I mean, why do you have this excitement about that? Because when you do evangelism and you let God use you, it becomes really exciting. You start to see God use you. You say, well, I'm young. I'm really a young guy. So what? So when does youth not being able to witness? I mean, are you kidding? You want to see God bless your socks off? You want to see an electric Christian life? Tell people about Jesus Christ. Exercise some of that spiritual, you know, you start getting out and exercising this and telling people about Christ, it'll be electric for you. I guarantee you'll be telling stories of your own. I mean, question. How many knew that I graduated from Moody Bible Institute today? Not today, I didn't graduate today. How many knew that I had graduated from Moody Bible Institute? Yeah. Oh, brother. How many knew that I had graduated from Moody Bible Institute? Raise your hand high. I mean, okay, because I told you. But usually when people ask me to come and to talk on evangelism, it's because I've done it. I've done it. You know, they don't care. Nobody asked me today about my GPA at MBI. And on the street, nobody ever asked me at all, ever, where I went to school or what my GPA was. The only time anybody ever did anything, I had a ring ring from the school, and it was a blue stone on it, and it looked really pretty, and a guy comes up to me in Times Square, he goes, that's a pretty ring. That's it. They don't care. And when... All they want to know is the gospel. They really do. They don't know that, but that's all they really want to know. And we've got the gospel. And I want to tell you something. The more you do this, you feel like I'm inept. I can't do this. I say, do what you can do. God will train, will minister and train you and teach you and guide you. He will do this. You'll get better at it. Listen, if I played baseball in the professional level and I hit the ball 4 out of 10 times, I'm making a gazillion dollars. The last guy that did that for a season was Ted Williams. And he's in the Honking Hall of Fame. And so if I can hit the ball left or right, doesn't matter to me if I can even see the ball, but if I can hit the ball, that's 60% failure rate. I'd be making bazillions, not just gazillions, but bazillion, gazillion dollars. I'd be making a lot of money playing baseball. And here he is, the man that can hit the ball 4 out of 10 times. Is he on the roid? Is he really on the roid? You know, all that kind of stuff. Listen, but we tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and I don't want it, you fanatic. I will never do this again. Never. I will never share. Never. It's not my gift, and I don't like that. Well, man, I tell you what, if you're a baseball player, you never step up to the plate. You're going to have failures. You're going to learn from those mistakes and grow in that and keep stepping up and keep taking the swing. That's what you got to do. I mean, God will grow you. You'll get good at this. I don't care if you got the gift or not. You'll get better at this. You really will. And it's a lot of fun. It is. I'm telling you, I got stories galore. It's just a blast. Oh, I just wanted to tell you one. Okay, so that is it. And so we have the Christ commands it. Love and duty demands it. John 4, we notice the woman who received Christ went immediately and told others about him. She was compelled to do it. J.I. Packer points out there are two motives that would spur us to constantly evangelize. Am I going too fast? Okay. The first, the love of God and his concern for his glory. Second is the love of man and concern for his welfare. Do we really care if people go to hell or not? I mean, that's the bottom line. Do we care if people go to hell or not? And will burn forever. That's called theology. That's called biblical theology. That's called Christ preached more on hell than he did heaven. He preached more on hell than any other subject in the New Testament. He preached more on hell than any other person in the New Testament. And he died to save us from it. Do we care about that? Do we really believe in divine retribution? I mean, do we really believe that? I mean, seriously, do we really believe it? Not, oh yeah, I believe it, I'd sign that doctrinal statement. But do we really believe it? I can't answer that. I can only look at myself. And if I really believed it, don't you think it would make a difference in what I do? And I wouldn't worry whether somebody rejects me or shuts me down or anything else like that. I wouldn't worry about that. Because it's not about me. It's not about my comfort zone. It's not about any of that. It's about them. Whether they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So you're going to have people getting really mad at you. You'll have people really thanking you. You'll have all that kind of stuff. But don't stop stepping up to the plate because you're only somebody shut you down. No. You keep going because it's their welfare. You keep going. In fact, you keep going after them. Importance of this? Well, here's some important reasons. Some important reasons. A, and reasons. Because all men are lost and need to be saved and we must be convinced of that. We must be convinced of this, that people are dying and going to hell and they need Jesus Christ and we're the only ones that can give it to them. Think the Muslims are going to give it to them? Think the Roman Catholics are going to give it to them? They're not going to give it to them, I'm sorry. Think the Mormons are going to give it to them? They're going to give them all the aforementioned, they're giving them a lie. That's what they're doing, they're giving them a lie, a false hope. And that's the story. I mean, the street is, or the suburbs, or whatever, wherever people are, we're vying for these people's intellectual understanding. And they're coming across as this, the Mormons are coming across as this is the gospel. And it's heretical. It's false. It's wrong. It leads people to hell. I mean, that's the story. And we have to understand that. We need to be convinced that people are on their way to hell. Number two, because God has entrusted to us the responsibility to evangelize the lost. Folks, there's no higher honor. I mean, there's no higher honor than to see somebody come pass from death unto life. What could you do in your life that would be better than that? I really like to know it. What could be better in your life than to lead somebody else that they would have life forever and when they die, they'd go to heaven? What could you possibly do that would be better than that? And then, so you know, and somebody said, I wouldn't stoop to be a king and give up soul winning. Wouldn't do that. Because of the example of Christ. He was a personal evangelist. Look at John 3, Nicodemus. Look at John 4, the woman at the well. Examine those two diametrically opposed approaches. I mean, he was up front and in your face with Nicodemus, and then he drew the woman. He drew the woman in the sense that he used apperception, took her from what she knew to what she didn't know. With Nicodemus, boom, right between the eyes. He was a personal evangelist. And then the joy, because of the joy and wisdom of witnessing. I want to tell you something. Lead somebody to Christ. You're floating. Somebody just came to Christ. Muse on that a little bit. Think about that a little bit. They just pass from death unto life. They're going to heaven when they die. This is true no matter what. This is it. They're wow. And if you happen to take their funeral, you'll know that that is. This is great. This is fantastic. They're going to heaven. And when people die, nobody's going to care about their cars, houses, all the bank accounts, all that junk. Are they in heaven or hell? Where are they? Where are they? And that's the bottom line, isn't it? Advantages of this? All can do it. Everybody can do this. There's no excuses. None. No excuses. But I can't. No. But you don't. No. No excuses. Everybody can do it. Do what you got. When they asked William Booth, when William Booth went blind, the founder of the Salvation Army, they said, how are you going to serve God now, General Booth? He said, I serve God with my eyesight. Now I'm going to serve him with my blindness. That guy is not a quitter. He's not problem-oriented. He's goal-oriented. He's going to skirt right around this. I'll do it whatever I can. However, any way I can, I'm going to do it. Don't you like that? Yeah, this is the greatest endeavor in human history. I know what Dwight Eisenhower said about the landing at D-Day. This is the, you know, great landing and all this kind of... This, what we're doing, is the greatest in all of human history. Leading somebody to Christ. Wow. That is cool. What a privilege. Can be done almost anywhere at any time. Anywhere at any time. Reaches all classes of people. No respecter of persons. They breathing? They're fair game. They breathing? They're fair game. They might not have the same, you know, they might not have their English down if you're speaking to somebody in English. They might not have their Spanish down. I mean, everybody's fair game. We're going after everybody. God is no respecter of persons, so why should we be? Focus is on the individual, of course, and also produces results. We often say, why isn't there more evangelism? We whine like crazy. We need more evangelism. It's just, how come there's not more people coming to Christ? Well, are we telling people about Jesus? No loaves to the loafer, folks. If we are loafing, how can we expect anybody to come to Christ if we're not telling them about Christ? Makes sense to me. I'm a simple little guy, or a tall guy. Anyway, it's a simple thing. And you go and tell people about Christ, they have this propensity to come to Christ. It's fun. This is a lot of fun. Some costs in soul winning, it takes time. In fact, you need to invest the time. We make the time. Redeeming the time. It takes work. I saw this book one time, Soul Winning Made Easy. No, it's not. Soul Winning Made Easy. I understand the idea behind the book and all this kind of stuff, you know. And it's easy to... No, it's not as well to work. You got to prepare. You got to pray. You've got to study up. Study to show yourself approved unto God. It's a lot of work. You know, you did a kid homeschool week. They got camps, you know. That's, money and... for what end that these boys and girls men and women can come to Christ and then grow in Christ so they can reproduce. This is what it is. It's a lot of work. You know? It really is. So you prepare for that. It takes work. We need to fish for men as an occupation, not just a sport. You don't do it just every once in a while. This is a lifelong thing, and I want to just address that just for a second. Because evangelism is not an action. It is a lifestyle. I mean, it's an action, we do it, we go and do it, but it's a lifestyle. We think it. We're always thinking about evangelism. Always, quote, unquote, on. Always ready to go. Always doing this. Hey, go get yourself some tracks. You know what I mean? Just go, best track in the world. This one right here. May I ask you a question? Comes in Spanish, comes in English, comes in German, comes in a whole bunch of different languages. Best gospel track I've ever seen. We use it. We just bought 100,000 of them. We use it all the time. This is fantastic. A person could read this and just and get saved with it. You know, we passed out 3,000 of these at Michigan State University. Me and my friend Greg. And normally you would see them all over the ground, right? You'd see them all over the place. Not these, though. We found like 2 in the ground and like 3 in the garbage can. That was it. 3,000 of them at a place like MSU, Michigan State University. People were, I've given this to old ladies, pumping gas, and they're sitting there going like this. Foom, foom, foom. And in the back, you know, the Ezekiel Project, that didn't tell them anything. I don't have here burner, you know, turn or burn ministries, you know. I just have here Ezekiel Project. Oh, wow. John Reimer from Believer's Gospel Chapel in Augusta, Georgia. Masters coming up. It already happened, but the Masters is coming up, right? He calls these guys up, Eventel, and designs his own track with a golf ball and a golf club on it with a lot of green in it. We passed out 29,000 of them, like 4 years straight in a row. Unbelievable. These people, and Eventel, we had to get another drop ship, and we ran out. We had to get some more. And they printed them out and shipped them right out during the week, right? They're getting calls from people already. We're getting calls of people who have looked at this and have trusted Christ. Keep going. Yes. Yes. You know, that's it. You know, that's the thing. I mean, it takes work. It takes prayer. Prayer for God's leading to the right people. Everybody's the right person. In fact, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to say something that Josh McDowell said. I don't have to pray about whether I should witness to this person or not. I don't have to pray about it. God's already told me to witness. I'm asking God to shut my mouth if he doesn't want me to witness. I'm going there. I'm going there, Lord. Don't let me do it. Don't let me... Don't let me do it because I'm about to tell people. I'm about, here, oh, here it goes, Lord. Obviously, you want me to do it because he's already told me to go. He's already asked me to do this. It's not like is it right for me to talk to this person? Read the Bible. And it tells you yes. So you pray. You're praying all the time. Some rewards of soul winning. Reward of developed character. You won't become a character, you'll gain in character. Some of you might become characters, I don't know. But the thing is, develop character. You'll get better at this. You'll really grow at this. All of a sudden, you'll become out of yourself, and you'll be going, people will look at you, and they'll go, boy, that person has blossomed. Look at their personality. It's just, they've blossomed. They've come out of themselves, you know. That's not my goal. My goal is to tell people about Christ, but that's a byproduct. And then also, develop gifts and or talents. You won't believe it. I mean, use anything you got. I knew a guy who's in a championship marching band in high school. And so we go out and he'd play his... When the Saints goes marching, he jazzed the thing up, right? In the open air. Well, it was like a magnet. It's like a mag, people all over. That's what, yes, yes. What do you got that's unique? Are you a good cook? You're a good cook, aren't you? Yeah, you. You a good cook?
Yes.
They don't know. Yeah, that's right. She's a good cook. That's right. You make pies? You do? Do you ever have a plumber to your house? Oh, yeah, okay. So next time you have to have the plumber make a pie. When was the last time you ever heard of a plumber passing up a piece of pie and a cup of coffee? And then say, you know, as the guy's rotor-rootering your thing, right? And you just sit there and you're going, would you like some pie and some coffee? And then you have it wafting through there, you know, fans going this way, directing it to where the thing is. Oh, yeah, sure. And then the guy's, you know, well, here, go ahead. And he's charging like a gazillion dollars an hour. And, you know, he's eating the pie. And you say, well, you know, my life was like that tub, all bound up, but bound up with sin. Use what you got. Do with what you got. You know, if you got tattoos on you, you just happen to have a few tattoos. I don't have any tattoos. I got scars. But I've gone to people, you know, I see the tattoo, I go, that had to hurt, man. Because I hate needles. I said, I can't stand needles. And I've had the toughest burl, yeah, yeah. I said, does that hurt? And he goes, oh, yeah. And the guy had a swear word up and down like this, right down here. He goes, and that really hurt, too. And it said F U right here. Like, that really hurt. And he flashes it to me. He goes, ah, like that. I don't care. What a moron. You know, I don't care. It had to hurt. That is sensitive, you know, even if you did put a bad word there, you know. I said, well, that had, and I didn't let it affect me. You know, look beyond the fault and saw my need. He thought he was going to get a rise out of me. He didn't. He got a rise out of him. He's probably in tears. But I use that. You see guys with tattoos and all that kind of junk all over them? Use it. Find out about them. How much did that cost? You still paying it off? I mean, it's just, you had to take a loan for that one? I mean, I've seen guys with flames up there. That had to hurt. I've had the toughest, gnarliest, burliest looking dudes and dudettes, you know, with up their legs and all this kind of stuff. I go, man, did that hurt? And they go, yeah. You bridge right in. You get them talking about them. So I don't care how tough they are. Doesn't matter. How nasty or whatever. We get scared of people. Don't let it do it. So it takes time, takes prayer. Rewards development of character, gifts and or talents, unexcelled joy. Unexcelled joy. Reward of lasting friendships. Leading people to Christ. Do you remember the person that led you to Christ? Do you hate him? The person you led that led you to Christ, you hate him? No way. You're like really good friends, hopefully. Reward of bestowed approval by our Lord. Well done. Well done. And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to have that approval from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, get a little practical action. We don't got much time left with ourselves. We don't. We're going to 12:30, right? You won't want to leave. We're going to talk about evangelistic counseling. I'm going to go hard on this one, that is to say, about what to do, and then we're going to talk about how to lead a child to Christ. Some of it's going to be repetitious. It's going to be repetitious. So what we're going to talk a little bit about, how to lead when we talk about evangelistic counseling, we're talking about how to lead an adult to Christ. That's what we're really talking about. But then it's going to be repetitious. I don't need to say that again, okay? All right. Biblical mandate. Biblical mandate. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You want God's estimation of your life if you lead souls to Christ? He's going to think you're wise. Other Christians won't. The worst persecution I've ever had in my life. I've been on the streets for a long time, 30-some years. The worst persecution I've ever had in my life. Where do you think? Huh? Yeah, you can say. Christians. Other Christians. Hardest, toughest persecution I've ever had to endure in my life are from other Christians. I've been rebuked. I've been, you know, you can't do it that way. That's wrong, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's amazing to me. I'm just amazed. Can't let it stop you. I want God's estimation of this. Not what somebody else thinks about it. He that winneth souls is wise. This is what God thinks of that. Psalm 126, 6, he that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Beautiful verse. Read it this morning in devotions. We look at this and we say, wow, you know, you go and sow the seed, you will get fruit. It will happen. Just keep doing it. I mean, it's not going to, you know, some days when we go like and do open air evangelism, we're just on the street. See, open air evangelism, we're doing personal evangelism in open air evangelism. That's what we're doing. We're talking personally to people. We just use a sketchboard. We just get a crowd. There's techniques and that kind of stuff, but it's still personal. It really is. It's, you know, it's all still personal. And when you go and share the gospel and share it and give it out, you're going to see people come to Christ. We often say in the open air, how did your day go? And we say, well, it was a Noah day. Well, you know what that means, right? Not very many people came to Christ, if any. But sometimes we've said, well, it's been a Jonah day. We were at CCNY at City College in New York one time, preached in the open air, had over 400 at that college campus. And 45 lined up, 45 people lined up and waited to be counseled. Yeah, well, that was a Jonah day. That's pretty cool. And I've talked to dogs scratching themselves, you know. I've talked to nobody. Hey, this is what it is. We had a team one time. I was in Queens, right across the street, Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn and Queens. That's the dividing line. And I said to the team, I said, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. You preach, 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 preach. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. You just keep going. This team actually believed me. This kid preached. And he was preaching to his team that had heard the God you message over and over in practice. And now they were doing it. And he's preaching just to his team. And he was preaching like he's preaching to 400 people. The kid was faithful. And he went through the whole thing. Gave the invitation. Showed him how to trust Christ to his team. His team was going, you know, they're standing there dutifully and all this kind of stuff. It was wonderful. But what he didn't see that I saw being across the street was across the street from where he was on this side was a store, and then the third story up was an apartment with a lady hanging out the window up to her torso listening to every word. He did not see her, but he was faithful. Don't quit. Just don't quit. God will, it'll be tremendous. She was, and if this is the sill, she's like this. I'm thinking, oh, this lady's going to take a header. Be with the Lord, you know. So, John 14:26, but the Comforter who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Of course, this is talking about the canon of New Testament Scripture. He's talking to his disciples by way of, you know, the strictest interpretation, that's what it is. But by way of application, God is going to teach you how to do this. He's going to make you effective. Keep going, God will do it. You can't drive a parked car. You just can't drive a parked car. You got to get it in gear. We got to get it in gear. We've got to get in gear. God, and only start to steer us and start to minister to us and teach us how to be better at this. And if you're afraid, that's okay. But don't let fear stymie you or stop you from doing what you should do. I talked to a fellow yesterday. He said, I was just so scared. It was Alan Jones, your uncle. Your uncle. I was talking to your uncle. He said, sometimes I'm just really scared. And I said, that's courage, man. And you're looking at your grandpa. This guy took our seminar in Atlanta and preached in the open air at Five Points. I love this guy because he's retiring. He's not an upfront type of guy. But this guy, Dave Jones, said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it, and he did it well. And I want to hug Dave. We got an infinity, you know. I mean, just, hi, bro, how you doing? You know? And it just, I mean, but God can do this. God can do this. And so let God do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4. I can do this. If he asks you to do it, he gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the strength to do it. You say, I don't know how to do this. Well, get going and try to do your best. Somebody told D.L. Moody, who had a fifth grade education and his English grammar wasn't quite as good as it probably should have been. Somebody said to him, Mr. Moody, your grammar is terrible. He goes, that's true. What are you doing with yours? And I think that that is absolutely true. Preparation for winning souls. How do we prepare ourselves? Know the faith yourself. Walk with Christ. Be a worthy example. Know it. Be a man or woman of prayer. Have a burden for souls. Know the Word of God. Have a working knowledge of it. There is no excuse. We've got so much material. And let's just for an instance. We had this lady in our assembly in Michigan. We found out she couldn't read. She was an illiterate. She could not read. It's an interesting thing, too. I've gone through with people, and I've given a piece of literature to somebody, I say, here, and they go, oh. And I can always tell if they're illiterate. They go like this. They're not even looking at it and flipping the pages. And I say, can I take you through that? And they go, oh, please. You can't believe how many people can't read. It's true. Don't go, you can't read, you know. Somebody in our assembly gave that young lady, or elderly lady, she was an elderly lady, gave her the Bible on tape. She'd start going to the Bible study and start contributing from the Word of God, from memory. She wasn't stupid. She wasn't like, I have no brain power. She just didn't know how to read. And wouldn't it be a tremendous thing to take the Bible and to show them how to read from the Bible? What a ministry that would be, right? How about starting that kind of ministry in illiteracy and having a literacy ministry with the view of evangelism? What a tremendous idea that would be. D, learn a plan of salvation. Learn a plan of salvation. I don't mean to be subtle about that, but here it is. You know, I learned the plan of salvation. And I believe in the canned approach. See, you know what our problem is? We just don't know what to say. We sit there and we go, we're sitting in the bus. I got a witness. I got a witness to this person. I don't know what to say. What do I do? How do I bridge? What do I do? And we're going, and then the stop comes. The guy gets out. We get frustrated. Or we get shut down. You know, and it just becomes a negative type of situation.